And we're back live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Kind of an impromptu live stream, really. I set up an interview with the Iconoclast. We're going to talk about censorship and the banning of his YouTube channel here today. Set that up, I think, yesterday or the day before, and we just decided kind of last minute. As Bill O'Reilly, I think it is, it says, fuck it, we'll do it live, right? So that's why we're doing this live. So the Iconoclast, Dan, is with us. Hey, how's it going? Sorry to hear about the YouTube channel, obviously, but thank you for joining us nonetheless.
Oh, it's great to be here. I wish the circumstances were a little better, but I've always been watching Red Ice, and it's almost a dream come true for me to be on this show, actually.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it was Thursday when this happened, and people have been asking me, are you stressed? Are you depressed? Are you whatever? And the answer is no. Like, it's, I don't know if it just hasn't sunk in yet, but it's just a weird situation, but one that I probably predicted, and that most other people predicted it as well. It is what it is, to coin an annoying phrase that is often used in this country. But so it is what it is, and it's not going to stop here. It's going to happen to more and more people.
Yeah, exactly. So what was the specifics of it here? That could be interesting for people to know that might not be aware of it. Obviously, your big YouTube channel, you had, what, 100, over 100,000?
Over 200,000. Yeah,
over 200,000. Yeah. There you go. Exactly. Yeah. So no recourse. Were you verified? Does that help at all? I still don't know if that makes a difference.
I don't think I was. The thing is, I was completely demonetized in June when the last purge happened, the whole Steven Crowder thing. I was demonetized completely then. So I think that took away some of my privileges. Like, I couldn't get in contact with anyone from YouTube after that. And I kind of saw the writing was on the wall. Especially they started deleting my videos and stuff. But in terms of strikes, I didn't actually get any strikes, which is what your YouTube channel is judged by in the eyes of YouTube. If you have 4 strikes, you're out. I had none. My channel was completely in the green, squeaky clean in that sense, but it didn't matter in the end. They just did it anyway. And that's the important thing here, that it doesn't matter. They don't even follow their own process. If they want you gone, you're gone. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what's so bizarre about it. So it wasn't like a 1, 2, 3 strikes and then it was just boom, gone.
Boom, straight away. Yeah.
And they've done this with certain channels. And I don't know what the reasoning is for that. Are they justifying it by saying, well, you got 3, it was 3 strikes right away, so it's just gone. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe, I don't know if there was a change in their policy, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they widened the goalposts and then gave me 3 strikes all at once so I couldn't deal with it. But usually when you get a strike, you get an email telling you about that particular strike.
Right.
So if that's the case, then I should have had 3 or 4 emails detailing each strike, but I didn't get them. It was just everything gone in one stroke. And the same with Way of the World as well. Let's not forget Way of the World, because it's him and me.
Yes.
We're the ones that have been deleted here. And he did have a great channel.
That's right. I wanted to show that as well. I'm just putting, guys, the super chat link in the live stream on the YouTube stream right there if you want to join in or something. And we might take some callers right at the end as well. I know we don't have too long of time with you here today, so we'll see how this pans out here. But yes, let's show that here. Actually, before we do that, I had... So Team YouTube responded to my tweet about this. right. I said the Iconoclast YouTube channel was deleted. Oh, not that one. That's the wrong one. And... Team YouTube need to look into this, blah, blah, blah. And then here it says, when a channel or account is terminated, an email with more details about the reason will be sent. If this happens in error, the owner of the channel can always appeal. Here's more information about account terminations, including why it happened. So I don't know if you've looked at that at all. Or, I mean,
yeah,
is it any, can you fight any of this or is that it? You know?
Well, I have launched the official appeal that they're talking about there. And I've been talking to these verified flagger guys on Twitter, telling them everything and trying to see if I can get anything done. So in an official capacity, I've done all I can do,
right?
Really. So I just have to sit here. It'll either be reinstalled or it won't be. It's really that simple. And but I want to make a commitment here. Even if I do get it back by some miracle, I'm not optimistic about that, but even if I do get it back, I'm going to prioritize BitChute from now on. I'm going to make a video saying, guys, come to BitChute because I'm leaving YouTube. I can't stand this anymore. And I think more people need to do that. We actually need to make the switch. Because
yes, I agree.
At the moment, we're begging. I mean, that VT you showed before we started this stream was hilarious. And it's all these big wigs from social media and Google saying, we don't want you here. We're going to clean up the platform. So why would we try and fight to stay on if they clearly don't want us here? It's like climbing Everest. It's hard. It's not going to happen. You know, so let's all make a conscious effort to do this, because that's the only way anything's actually going to change.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. It is insanity. All these huge people, like, you know, that you can see in that clip, the major social media companies, CEOs, it's people that have power, like the Cloudflare director, which controls, I think, about like 80% of internet traffic now.
Yeah, it's mad.
It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. And so these guys are just basically making decisions based on essentially at this point pressure by media. And now we're seeing this kind of narrative being spun with essentially, if you talk about things that they don't want you to talk about, well, that is going to lead to violence. Like, if you're critical of migration, if you don't want to open borders, if you are worried about birth rates, if you talk about, I think we can't say the R word on YouTube, so we say the substitution plan, the agenda of substituting, then essentially it will lead to violence. So therefore, they justify shutting that down, which of course is not true. That needs to be validated. There are violent people within every kinds of fields. Like there's people shooting up, you know, specifically in America, obviously, where you do have a little bit more guns on that issue. But it's obviously more of a mental health issue, I think, than anything else. But regardless, they're using that. They're spinning that web and very effectively saying, well, you know, this is a real danger. It's all white supremacy. It's white nationalism. It's right-wing extremism. And so they have now justified shutting that down. So we're in a real pinch in getting the word out about the kinds of things which essentially our governments, our politicians, you know, in terms of America, the First Amendment should be supposed to, you know, protect, you know, again, not on private platforms, essentially, but again, at least from the point of view of government, right? Those avenues are being closed off, and more people that are more and more frustrated have fewer and fewer avenues to vent and talk about and share the things that they see as legitimate. It's not only complaints, but legitimate concerns that they hold, right?
Yeah, and I think you've just hit the nail on the head there. The things that I primarily talked about on my channel were, it was the demographic crisis in Europe especially. That's my focus, Britain. And much the same for Way of the World as well. Now, there are channels out there, and I've heard people say this, there are channels out there who went further than I did, maybe had more quote-unquote extreme takes on things. But they've either got smaller audiences than me or very, very, very few people. Now, the point about getting rid of me in Way of the World is we were talking about this very pressing issue that I believe is going to be a mainstream talking point, especially in Europe over the next couple of years. Yeah. We've got a census coming out in 2021. That is going to be eye-opening for a lot of people. So we're really hammering this issue, and we've got reach and we've got power. So that's why they got rid of us. They might leave the more extreme guys on the platform to try and make us look bad in some way, you know, but to get rid of me and Way of the World, that's why they've done it, because we had the reach. Now our reach has been taken away because of this, but are we going to stop talking about it? No, because it is the most pressing issue of our time. It's as simple as that. And they can try, they can pull all these dirty tricks, but they're not going to shut us up. I'm not going to just delete all of my social media and all my video accounts and say, well, I guess that's it, lads. We're done for.
We're packing up.
It's not going to happen.
They won. No, of course not. That's the thing. It's like they think, Greg Johnson made the analogy of the fire alarm. I've talked about it a couple of times, but it's good. It's a really efficient one. It's essentially like there is a major fire and we're the fire alarm. We're saying, hey, shit's on fire here. This is not going to go well. We need to pay attention to this or things are going to really hit the fan. And they think just destroy the fire alarm and all these problems will go away. So just sweep it under the rug, put the lid on it. But the pressure that's building up from this, ironically, is also what the establishment are using. Because unfortunately, when you do have individuals turning to violence, because again, I guess some of those individuals, I really don't know what's going on in there in their mental headspace or why they do certain things. And there are other people that have questions. Are they 100% organic? Or is there any sting operations or anything behind that? We don't know. We should be allowed to ask those questions regardless. But say it's just at face value. It is what it is. These people are crazy because they heard a thing online, essentially, right? So they go and do violent acts, right? I would assume that those individuals then feel so desperate that even there's no avenues to discuss, and they feel that that's the only and last resort that they can turn to get heard, which essentially puts the blame on the people that are censoring and silencing and not taking these individuals seriously. We're living in an era where everyone's feelings, it's so important, and what do you think? You know, it's like this hypersensitivity and you must listen to everyone. You know, if you want to change gender, those are legitimate things. You know, there should be a whole infrastructure in place that supports that and stuff. But if you start talking about immigration, open borders, demographic substitution, you know, all these things, oh, that's completely outlandish, and it's a conspiracy theory, and it's not real, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about the violence that you're talking about, in the email that I received from YouTube about my termination, they specifically mentioned incitement of violence. I've never done that, ever. So all I can say is they think that even discussing these things, just talking about these things in a calm and measured way, is, you know, amount it is basically violence, because some people might take the message and go and do something with it that they don't like. But the thing is, if you push the message even further underground, then those people are going to be further isolated, and they're not going to have an outlet. They're not going to be able to, where are all the people who think like me? They're all getting shut down. So is there something wrong with me? It's just going to further compound this. And I can't believe that they think this is a good strategy. But then again, there's a part of me that thinks they just want chaos. This chaos is beneficial to them in some way. And maybe they're just putting fuel on the fire to try and make that happen. Because as you said, as they said in that VT you played before we started, they can't have another 2016. They just can't have
it. Nope, that's not happening.
That's their biggest fear, isn't it?
And disappointingly, what's the word I'm looking for? Annoyingly, Donald J. Trump is doing squat about it. And he knows
exactly,
it.
Yeah.
He knows it. The damn guy knows it. Zion Dawn, he knows that these people are, they're shutting down his supporters, primarily conservatives, right-wingers, nationalists, patriots, those who have complaints about where the world is going right now. And he's watching it very closely, he says every time. But what's happening? I mean, I know they started that White House, you could submit things and you could, you know, talk about your case and whatever. And there's still time. There could be something that comes out of this, but it's definitely not moving fast enough, which is a worrying trend, because he will definitely not get in 2020, I think, if people can't continue to voice their support for him, right?
Yeah, the thing is, I completely agree with what you said. It's all very well him coming out and on Twitter and saying, it's terrible that these social media companies are shutting down conservative voices and all that. But yeah, you've got to do something about it, mate. You can't just say it. You've got to do something. Now, I know politics is complicated. Things take a long time. I know. But at least make some moves. We're not really seeing enough here.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's going to detriment him more than anything else, because he needs these people. He needs people like us. Now, I have my complaints with Donald Trump, like I think all of us have, but I'd like to think that we see the bigger picture and he's just a step in the direction that we need to go in. I know that there's problems with him and all that, it's foreign policy. But, you know, he's an important watermark in history because he's the first person to stand up to the globalists, I guess, and say, no, fuck you. And people get behind that, whether they are knowledgeable about everything else. Like, they see a guy who is fighting the establishment, and more people want to do that themselves. Now, I think so this is going to hurt him and those people.
Yeah.
So it's something neat. We can't be playing catch up all the time. And that's what we've been doing. The left are like four steps ahead of us at this point, and we're still trying to scrounge our own platforms back from them.
Yeah, it is a little concerning in terms of where to turn and all that kind of stuff. And I do want to mention now, then, let's talk about where the world is well quickly. I did invite him to come on and share some of his thoughts on that. He doesn't really do interviews, and that's totally fine. Regardless, he does great work. So if you do want to follow him, he does have a BitChute channel, which is Way of the World. Check it out over there. And then also, he does have a second YouTube channel set up as well. Let me click in there, which is also just termed Way of the World. So hopefully you can find that. I don't know if he's grabbed a URL for that yet. But anyway, that's where you can follow him and check his work out. So combined, that's over, 350,000 subs. And
yeah,
again,
something like that.
UK channel specifically, right? I don't know if he's listed as being in the UK or whatnot. But do you think that's anything behind it? Is it the UK version of YouTube that has gone after you guys' channel? Or what's your hunch?
It's an interesting theory, but I mean, people like Mark Collette are still up there, you know, and he's probably got a reputation of being the BNP, so he's probably considered more of an enemy than I am by the establishment. But you know what? That's not a bad shout. When was it? Last year, a couple of years ago, one of our ministers, one of our politicians, Yvette Kupo mentioned you guys specifically.
Yep.
She's like, well, why am I getting recommended Red Ice TV? This is so. I mean, it's a good theory. Maybe it is that. Maybe it is a UK centric thing. But that people around the world don't take that to think that you're safe from this, because nobody is.
No.
And unless, and it's depressing to say, but unless one of the quote unquote big boys of YouTube gets taken down, like maybe a Paul Joseph Watson or a Sargon, then I think people are just kind of gonna get this false sense of security again, and after the tensions die down, they're just gonna be, well, at least it wasn't me, at least it wasn't my favorite YouTuber. No, it'll happen to them as well.
People are habitual. They do essentially, they don't refuse, but it's only kind of your really core base audience that follows you if you go to a new platform, unfortunately.
Sure, yeah.
And the advantage of being on YouTube is because I guess that's not true as much anymore, though. I mean, I look at our statistics, for example, right now, and I'm sure, you know, people ask, well, why are you not gone? And it's like, I don't know. How the hell can I answer that? Like, I don't know. We have toned it down significantly. We have deleted a lot of older videos that where we did far more edgy things, and we talked about things you're not allowed to talk about now and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they do retroactively kind of, you know, if you did something 2012 or 2013 that was okay by the standards back then, if they update and change their terms of service in 2018, 2019, it's retroactively punishable, which is also so bizarre in a way, because it's like, well, I mean, I don't even know if... I don't know if those updates have specifically mentioned that. Like, if you think that older material is in violation of this, you have to delete that. Maybe they have. I just haven't read through that. So maybe they have protected themselves in that way. But regardless, it's kind of ridiculous, because it's like, should be based on when it's uploaded. And you know, we try to wiggle our way in with these terms of service, and still it's valuable to be on YouTube, because you reach new audiences. But again, long-winded way of saying, looking at the stats and everything, they've already choked out the ability essentially to reach new people on YouTube anyway. You know, it's like, I think 60% traffic down in the last 28 day period for us. You know, it's older videos that were still there taking a lot of traffic. We had like between 1.5 and 2 million views a month on the whole like catalog of videos that we had. Now we were like having a hard time breaking 600,000, 800,000, something like that, you know. So that's a huge drop.
Yes, I experienced that as well over the last couple of months, since June, really. I'd noticed that my views were significantly down. My videos weren't getting recommended to people anymore, so new people weren't finding me, and my existing subscribers weren't getting notified whenever I uploaded. They were also getting forcibly unsubscribed from my channel, and I confirmed this. I went to a friend of mine's house who I knew was subscribed to me, and we looked on his YouTube channel, and yep, there he was, unsubscribed. So they do all of these dirty tricks to try and stifle you. And I guess they just got tired of playing the long game with me and just decided, ah, fuck him. Get rid of him now. Why not? Who's going to complain? And they have. And there you go. It's a brave new world, Henrik. What can I say? So yeah, we need to. And that is the benefit of YouTube, essentially. That's why it's so depressing, because YouTube is the only way in terms of video platforms where you can reach new people. It's like the Twitter of video sharing. BitChute is just populated with people like us who have gone there because they were kicked off YouTube or because their favorite content creator was. So it's not the same thing, which damages our ability to get the message out there about these things that we find really important, but we're not allowed to talk about, apparently.
Right, exactly. I mean, it should be. I'm very grateful that BitChute is there. There are some issues with the platform. I'm not going to hide, not say that. But it is a digital ghetto, right? In a way, it's like it is for people that are like, you know, they've been too edgy, or they haven't done this or that, or you're not allowed. So then you go to BitChute, and so the audience is there is kind of already like a. You know, it's an audience that's built on the grievances on the fact that YouTube is a shitty platform, essentially, which creates maybe some other problems. Now I do hope it could be built to something more than that. And as you say, the more people that are either censored or kicked off or intentionally make the choice of saying, you know what, I don't like where this is going. I'm going to start uploading maybe every fourth or fifth video that I do, either exclusively to BitChute or BitChute first, at least for a 24-hour period, try to get people over there. There are things that people who are not yet kicked off the platform can do to aid the process, and in a way kind of preemptively like build up that there's something there, a buffer or whatever you want to call it, that something is going to be there once they're kicked off, that people are accustomed to going to a different website, because people are so habitual. That's the difficult thing. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my plan for whether I get my channel back or not, really. If I don't get it back, then obviously BitChute's my main one. But if I do get it back, then BitChute is going to be the place to go for all of my new content. And maybe I'll upload them on my YouTube channel like a week afterwards or something when it's kind of not relevant anymore. But I think there has to be a move, man. There has to be a collective effort to do this, because it's up to us. It really is. It's up to us. BitChute's success depends on us. And we can talk all day about how we're against censorship and, oh, isn't it horrible how the globalists are doing this, the left are doing that, Google are doing this. But really, we have to take action. We can't just always be playing catch up and complaining about this. So I'm going to try and turn what's happened to me into a positive and pragmatic thing to try and inspire, is a big word, but to try and inspire others to do the same. You know, that these platforms exist and it's up to us to build them up.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like that. We have to do something. That's the main point. Now, let's go back a little bit and talk about some of the issues directly related to Britain and essentially why you're doing what you're doing. And same goes for us in terms of, like, the issues that we're dealing with are so serious. They're so life-changing. They're so fundamental to the fact that our children and coming generations will be in a very different situation than we were. And obviously you, just as us, are of the belief that the situation that these elites are creating for us is one that is a hellhole, essentially. It's a horror of ethnic conflict. There's going to be competition over resources. Carrying capacity overall, globally, might be reached. We're talking about overpopulation, how resources are going to be distributed, where people are going to live, what's going to happen once you have all these different religions, cultural values, languages in these various European countries and you know, in the Western world at large. It's a question that is the most important, most fundamental to how we're going to proceed forward right now. And that's not going to go away with a few people having a YouTube channel shut down, obviously, right?
No, of course. It's, you know, you mentioned the population problems we're having. Before I got banned, I was working on a video talking about population. And I'll finish it next week and upload it on BitChute and all that. But yeah, the population of Africa over the next century is going to explode to over 4 billion people. Now, if you think Africa has problems now, what with poverty and corruption and whatever else, you haven't seen anything yet. Now, where do you think all those people are going to try and get to? They're going to try and get to a better place to live for themselves. That's Europe. That's the West. How are we going to deal with this? If we can't even talk about it, for crying out loud. And then you have, I saw again this week, there's a movement in the UK. It's quite a small movement, but it's been plastered all over the news, all over the media. It's funny how that always happens, of these white middle-class liberal women who are refusing to have children until the environmental crisis is solved. You know, it's amazing.
Nice.
And essentially, you boil it down, you look at their beliefs, you look at the individuals in the movement, and it's just an anti-white movement. It really is. That's all it is, because they oppose population measures, population control measures. They say nothing about what Africa's going to turn into and the problems that we're going to have to deal with because of that. It's just unbelievable, man. And again, I said I'll finish this video next week for everyone, but we face all of these problems. And, you know, my kids are going to grow up in a world where they may be the minority in their own country. I mean, that's a scary thought. And it's going to happen in other places in Europe long before it happens in Britain. And it's going to happen in Britain pretty damn quickly. So, again, what we just have to sit back and say nothing. We can't oppose this. I've got very genuine, reasonable reasons to oppose this. My country will change dramatically and irreversibly. That's the key thing, irreversibly, if this happens. And like I said earlier, we have a national census released in this country every 10 years, and the next one is in 2021. The 2011 census, I mean, it was shocking. The 2021 census is going to be even more so. You see the population of natives who have dropped in the rise of other demographics in this country. People are going to be talking about it on a mainstream level. It's going to get there. And we're going to be justified in all the things that we're suffering from right now.
Yeah, what's your predictions, I guess, in terms of that? Does the census go into demographic like shifts in terms of geography and stuff? We've seen a massive white flight, obviously from areas, the bigger cities, London specifically. Yeah. And much of that white population has kind of sought itself to go out on the countryside mostly. But what do you think is going to say, and what are the percentages going to be as you go down in the ages? I saw some, and I don't know if that's true. Yeah. I saw something from Germany. It's like, 43% of, what was it, like below 8-year-olds or something in Germany was now foreign-born or from foreign-born parents.
Mm. Yeah, well, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you will definitely see in certain cities like London, like Birmingham, places in Yorkshire, you will definitely see that the school population, the children, will be majority non-white. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's already like that now in certain places. I think in Birmingham, I did a video about this a while ago, so I don't want to get this wrong, but I think in Birmingham over the next year or so, the majority of children will be Muslim children in the school.
Yeah.
So this is scary stuff. And if people don't think this is going to fundamentally change our civilization, then they're deluding themselves. We have to be able to fly this flag and talk about this.
Absolutely. Yeah. We showed an article like this, and we've talked about this for some time, but it, you know, there was this concerted effort specifically by Labour. I think this was before they turned into New Labour, where they essentially just to stick it to the Tories said, we're going to pry open the borders. We're going to let in as many people as possible. Tony Blair, of course, is a huge part in this. Books came out consequently detailing this. They were talking about it. This was here's an article talking about Labour, how they sent out search parties for immigrants. And this is Lord Manson admitting Labour sent out search parties for immigrants in a policy which has created a problem for British people unable to find work. And this is from 2013, so this is quite a while ago. But these kinds of interesting admissions come out now then, that it's like they intentionally wanted to flood the country and turn it into a less English, less white European country. That's the plan. That's the goal.
Yeah, and it benefits them. It doesn't benefit anyone. It doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit the wider population, normal British people. We're the last thing on their minds. It benefits them in an immediate sense. And, you know, we can get into more sinister theories about this, of course. I don't really need to say that to your audience. But there's so many forces working against us here. And, yeah, it's the same all over the West at this point. I always have to laugh, you know. The situation in Britain is bad. The situation in Europe is bad. And I often talk to Americans who don't quite get that they are in the same position as well. With the Latino population, right? The Hispanic population. Like, America's just is in just as worse position than we are. But that doesn't get talked about enough from people, I don't think. So, again, I want to be trying pragmatic about this. I want to try and find solutions to this. And one of the solutions, well, one of the first steps is messaging, effective messaging to the population. I'm going to try and continue doing that in whatever way I can. And we've got to get the word out there because people don't like it. They really don't. You mentioned the white flight from London. Most of the people who used to live in London live up here where I am in the north now. I meet them all the time. It's crazy. And they always say, yeah, London's just not the place I grew up in. And you can read between the lines and you know exactly what they mean. It's sad, really. It's depressing.
Yeah, definitely. There was a couple of headlines here I wanted to show. Let me see if I can pull these up here. That specifically you talk about this and go into this issue with the replacement rates or sorry, YouTube, the substitution rates. Let me just see here. Yeah, I gotta be careful. Let me see. Let me do this one right here because this will work. Sorry about this. I didn't plan to pull these in, but I wanted to show these. Here we go. All right. So, The Guardian, the last days of a white world. We are near a global watershed, a time when white people will not be the majority in the developed world, Britain included. Anthony Brown reports. Now, so you're not allowed to talk about these kinds of news articles unless you're saying that it's a good thing, right? White Britons will be a minority before 2070, says Professor the Independent. Africa to propel world's population towards 10 billion by 2050. And here are some, that's semi-transparent. That one actually shows the sub-Saharan Africa in the birth rates, the demographics, right? And then you have articles or magazine covers like this, National Geographic's Evolution Europe, how waves of migrants are breeding the future. Or this one, The New Europeans, how wave Classic. Of migrants are changing, it says there, changing a continent. So So we can't, these are mainstream publications. It's mainstream sources. It's mainstream articles. It's not a conspiracy theory. Yet they are telling us we can't talk about this unless we express an explicit positive thing, right? So I think that the title, like what we show here, and you butchered for now, but the title, the great substitution, the great R, even that alone was deemed like a no-no word, I guess, after the New Zealand thing happened, right? Remember? And so just because there was an overlap in the word, the phrases that was used, then that became banned. So that might very well be the reasons. I think you even showed Enoch Powell in the beginning of that one.
Yes, right? Exactly. Yeah, it's funny. Sorry, man. That article you showed at the very beginning there, The Last Days of a White World, that was published in the year 2000. In the year 2000. So people knew about this years and years. When I was a kid, people were talking about this. But you're right. If we talk about it in a negative way, in a way where we say, actually, we're not really cool with this, guys, then we're deemed conspiracy theorists. Then we're deemed dangerous. Then we're deemed to be inciting racial hatred or violence. But if you express, this is really nice, you know, we're going to have so much diversity. Yeah, white people are going to be minority in their own countries, but who cares, right? Look at all these restaurants. Then you're
fine. Food.
Then it's not a conspiracy. Oh, God, the fantastic
Think
range
of the
of
food.
Henry.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Exactly. So you express a positive opinion about these things that, like you said, the mainstream media have been talking about for decades. And I always used mainstream sources in my videos. You know, then you're unpersoned. You are unpersoned if you're not going along with this.
Let me play that. I got to play that. We've played some of this here, but CNN's Anderson Cooper says demographic decline in white America is a very exciting thing. Let me see here. Here's the tweet. For those who didn't see it yet, let me play this one here. Again, because it demonstrates that it's like these are the people out there, the establishment is talking. I mean, obviously, we know that they're trying to gaslight us into thinking, oh, it's not really happening and blah, blah, blah. That's a conspiracy theory and whatever. But anyway, listen to this here. Audio's not up. One second, folks. Sorry about that. Streaming PC. Where is it? There it is. Article. Okay.
Majority. You know, whites will not be the majority. I mean, it's an exciting transformation of the country. It's an exciting evolution and, you know, progress of our country in many different ways. Clearly, there's, you know, among white supremacists, white nationalists, that is viewed as a horrific event.
It's immediate how they spin that and turn that around. Yeah. Oh, actually, I just realized that was an admission of what they are talking about. Actually, that's bad. You can't say that that's bad. If you think it's exciting, it's happening, and it's happening. But now, you know, these white supremacists, though, they're crazy for thinking this is happening. It's amazing. Comments on shit like this, you know?
Exactly. And you know what? He calls it an exciting transformation. Well, it's not too exciting for the people living in Bradford, say, in Britain, or in Dewsbury in Yorkshire. It's not exciting for them because they've seen firsthand what happens when this occurs. So Anderson Cooper can sit in his nice air-conditioned TV studio on his big fat salary every year, rest assured in the fact that he's not going to be affected by this. But everyone, you know, you don't have to be a white nationalist to care about the regular people on the street who don't even vote, who don't know anything about politics. They see what they see with their own eyes and they don't like it. So are they bad people? I guess so. If they oppose this, they're just bad people.
Yeah, I guess they are. There is one clip, and to emphasize that, let me play that. I had a couple of these things already made previously. We played them occasionally. But listen to this. So here is a poor British guy. I'm sure you might have seen this clip because it's been going around, but let's play this here, folks.
Isn't it time the government listened to the people about the effect immigration is having in changing our communities? The government haven't got a clue. The government need to come and walk through our town and just see how we now live. Go back 12 years, it was totally different. Now, we are the complete minority there, the most terrible place on earth to live at the moment.
Make your point, sir, again. What was it?
1 in 7 new businesses set up by immigrants, yeah? They've all been given money. Everything's been thrown at the immigrants. But listen,
no,
I've applied for 100 jobs on the railway. 100 jobs. I don't even get an interview no more. In the old days, at least you get a letter. At least you get a rejection letter. I don't even get that. 100 jobs. But these immigrants, they get all their tickets paid for. They get all their jobs. I'm homeless. I've got nowhere to live. I have to go down today and see an immigrant an immigrant telling me that I... Well, that's the truth. Well, that's the truth. I went down to John Smith House today and an immigrant tells me that I cannot live here. I cannot get nowhere to live.
All right. Let's, you are...
And we get nothing.
Sir, you're blaming...
I'm not blaming immigrants at all.
No, you're blaming the wrong people.
I'm not.
You're blaming.
And then this guy weighs in there. I don't know if you saw the rest of that, but yeah, Davidovich, or what's his name again? He tries to spin it that you're the racist for talking about these kinds of things, essentially.
Yeah, that clip's a few years old. I actually saw that on TV when it came out, actually.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
When it was live. But yeah, it's I mean, people talk about white privilege all the time. This guy is literally at the bottom of society.
Yeah.
The guy, he's homeless, he can't get a job. And he's right. He's right. Nobody cares about him. The crowd heckles him. When he's just telling, when he's just saying what his situation is like.
Yeah, that's right.
Why is he a bad person for saying this? But of course, I mean, that was on the BBC. So let's get some perspective here. They're not very down with us, but it's unbelievable. And there's millions of people like him all over the country. They may not be homeless, but they've certainly got the same concerns as him. They're seeing their communities changing beyond recognition. I come from a working class ex-mining town. And that place has just been gutted. There's nothing there. And of course, all the immigrants are moving in now. And, you know, it's so sad. And it's happening across the country and across the West in general. But you can't talk about it.
No,
Henrik,
exactly. It's just a big lie. It's just a big, big conspiracy theory to think that something like this is going on. It's pretty amazing stuff. Hey, a couple of super chats came in here through the Enterprise software. I do appreciate that, guys. Canadian Longobarder 425 just says, hi. Hello, man. Thank you. Appreciate that. Bon for Five says people who are let me redo that. People who are least likely to care about the environment are having the most children. I hate to think about the impact. All environmentalists should be nationalists. Much respect to you, Dan. Thank you, Bon for that. Well, exactly. I mean, it's like the environmental angle is essentially being had by people like us now. Nationalists are all. At what point is it enough? Can they give us a number? Can they say, well, you know, currently, what is it in Europe? 550 million people? Is a billion enough? Is it 2 billion? What's the carrying capacity? What's going to happen with the environment? What's going to happen when all these people come in and at least believe that they're going to have a first world Western lifestyle? Multiple cars, a big house. It's unsustainable. We need to work on like rewilding, like most of the European continent. Most of the old growth forests have been cut down to pave ways and housing and everything else. And we have maniac prime ministers in Sweden who was talking about how, you know, I fly over Sweden all the time. It's just tons of land. Let's just, essentially, he was arguing, chop it all down and build like pave the roads and just build these huge high rises and just let them all in kind of thing. It's insanity and it won't last. It's not going to work.
Yeah, well, the official Green Party in the UK are very much like that as well. Now, they don't come out and say, oh, we're just going to cut down the forest. Of course, they can't say that. But they don't have a number on the amount of people coming into the country. They would never take a strong stance on immigration whatsoever. And at the same time, they go on and on about the housing crisis that the UK has. And that's true. People can't buy houses. There's not enough houses for people because our population is so big. But they don't oppose immigration. They don't support any strong border policies whatsoever. So they're going to continue importing people in. Where do they think they're going to build these houses? I would love to ask them that. Like, what's going to happen? You know, those nice fields over there, that nice forest, I guess we have to build houses there for the new natives, I guess. So, I mean, the Green parties, who told me this? I think Duke of Durham told me this. He said, they're green on the outside, but red on the inside. And I think that perfectly sums them up.
Yeah, watermelons. Right.
Watermelons, that's the one. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so what do we, if we can't even talk about it, if we're not, and I think that's that in the long term, that's not going to work for them. I think that's going to get worse for them. As we said before, in the short term, that means that if you do have people that feel such desperation, what is the saying? Was it George Washington? If you make peaceful revolution impossible, you make violent uprising or revolution inevitable, right? It's essentially, they are creating a situation where they're kind of, they're not encouraging that people turn to violence, but the fact is that you said before, it does actually benefit them because that gives them, it's a feedback loop, that gives them even more ammunition, so to speak, in terms of, see, this is the proof, we need to control these people, we need more surveillance, tighter speech restrictions and all that kind of stuff. And that might work in the short term, But I think there's only two scenarios, and that's either one, civil unrest, or it's some kind of colony collapse or like carrying capacity is reached in various European countries, and or it just turns into what South Africa essentially is today, where you have a slow, I mean, in terms of what happened there, you had other demographic groups coming into that to South Africa. It was wealthy, it was running efficiently and all that kind of stuff. It was racist government because it was apartheid, so ergo, you know, that was bad. So they done away with that. But look at it now. Now it's land confiscation without compensation. It is open murders against specifically the white farmers in South Africa. And there is a worldwide denial. There is governmental officials that are saying that this is just nonsense. They're even encouraging this. There's the EFF party. There's the, obviously, even the ANC. That's not much better, frankly. They're actively encouraging shooting the boar and, you know, there's jumping around on stage and singing about this and the kind of stuff. And the world just looks the other way. It's just, well, meh, whatever, you know. Which scenario are we looking at here, do you think?
Well, South Africa is a very interesting example because the left and all these types, they bring up South Africa as a positive example. They say, listen, they do. They say, oh, God, what South Africa used to be, the most racist place on earth. Look at it now. It's now, they've taken control back. And if you mention the farm murders, for example, you're right. They'll either deny that it's happening or they'll subtly say, well, you know, can you really blame them? You know, the history of that country, that, you know, white oppressors and all that. You know, South Africa is an extreme example, I think, but, you know, Britain, I don't think it's too far away from mass civil unrest. I mean, we've already had race riots in this country, over the years. We've had them in quite a few places. There'll be more things like that. I think if the economy crashes, which is a real possibility, I think we're living in a bit of a bubble. I think that might bring out some underlying tensions as well. I think that's very, very real. So yeah, I mean, civil unrest, I don't think people are going to be lynched in the streets. Quite like they will be in South Africa, but hey, we're heading for trouble. And again, messaging is important, but again, I mean, look, can't talk about it. It's hard to find a way forward, but I guess you just got to persevere. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who's supported me during this and have either mirrored videos or linked to my BitChute where people can see my stuff for the first time in many cases. And they can watch these videos about these very important topics, because it's only, like I said, it's only going to become more mainstream and more relevant, especially in Britain as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you for time? Do you need to go here soon, Dan?
I could do another 5 minutes, mate.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. If there's anyone that want to call in, let me just throw up that real quick. I guess we could just do that here at the end. If there's anyone, I know we rarely don't do that, but anyway, we do have a Skype line open. So you can either add us, just Red Ice TV on Skype and just call, or you can call in. It's an American number, so it's, you know, whatever exit code. If you're calling from the UK, call your exit code and then 1, followed by 856-336-8962. If you want to call in, have any questions for Dan or just some takes on what we're talking about here, go ahead and do that here at the end, because it could be interesting to get, you know, you guys' take on this as well. Because we are in a pinch, obviously. We're in a really bad situation. But at the same time, we cannot allow ourselves to be taken down to those levels where we give up and feel no hope and desperation. I think the most interesting things are going to start happen when a lot of the people out there realize the situation that they're in, because that's still the issue, right? The majority of people are still not, they're either consciously looking the other way or thinking that, well, it will get better somehow, or it will go away or something like that. They're thinking, you know, if I just don't focus on it, it won't be a kind of a thing, right? But eventually, I think those issues will come to those people's doorstep. And at that point, they were going to have to face this reality. And it could be interesting when millions and millions and millions of people start, like, actively thinking about this and starting to, like, go out into the streets or protesting or being vocal or, you know, talking to their politicians, etc., to get a change. But what do you see on that front? What's going to happen there?
I think eventually it will get to that, but it's hard to break through because there's been decades of conditioning for the mainstream population. You know, anyone who someone's ringing.
All right, let me answer that. All right, hey man, you're live on the air, Red Ice TV. How's it going?
Hey, I'm Will. I'm from Texas. I like y'all's show, man. I don't really have a question or anything. I just wanted to call in and say I really appreciate what y'all do, and it really sucks that they killed a iconoclast. I really enjoy what he does too.
Yeah,
y'all, please keep up the good work.
Yeah. Do you have any? Are you going to go to BitChute? What's your plan?
I'm already on all those other platforms. I'm subscribed to just about all hundreds of different people on the various platforms.
Excellent. Good. Have anything else on your heart you want to get out?
The world's crazy, and it's, clown world and all that, and we got to keep going. We can't give up. I listen to what y'all do. I really appreciate what y'all do, and just y'all need to know y'all's message is heard and appreciated.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Great stuff,
y'all,
man.
Have a
Thanks.
Good time.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for calling. All right, good. Bye. Yeah, if there's anyone else want to call in, go ahead, guys. Lines are open right now, right at the end here. And just let me know, Dan, when you do need to go here. I don't want to keep you too longer. But anyway, what were you saying before we took to the call there in terms of, the mass conditioning, right, of people and the fact that they need to try to, wake up to this. And again, that's our job, right? That's why we want to have YouTube channels. That's why we want to be on social media to spread our, again, those people that have declared us the enemy. Those are arguing that these are not legitimate and valid points to raise when we're talking about policy. We're talking about the kinds of things that politicians have done to our country against most people's will. There must be recourse for us to be able to get, voice our grievances at the base minimum. What do you think?
Yeah, it's all about messaging and breaking that conditioning, because, people may be sitting at home, just regular people who've got regular jobs, and they may be seeing what's going on in their own neighborhood and they don't like it. But then they think, well, why don't I like it? What's bothering me about this? And then they might, this is what happened to me when I first opened my eyes to the situation. I thought, am I actually a racist? Like, am I a bad person? Am I a racist? So you've got to get through that for yourself. And of course, it doesn't help when everyone basically does call you a racist and you're thinking this yourself. But there's valid reasons for not being on board with what's happening. It doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you human, because birds of a feather fly together. That's basically what human reality is.
We're thinking, Dan. We're thinking about the future. We're not.
Exactly.
Again, the people that are thinking that we are their enemies, they've declared themselves that we're their enemies. They're saying that they are. All right, maybe another call. Let's take that.
Here we go.
All right. You're live on the air. How's it going?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say, I just wanted to thank Dan, the Iconoclast, for his videos. He really helped me a lot, and he helped open my eyes a little bit.
That's good.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for watching.
And thank you. I mean, I live in Kansas. My family's from the UK, but you and Red Ice and a couple other creators on YouTube, they have really given me a lot of information and kind of lit a fire under my ass. So I just want to say it really sucks, and thank you for being around when you were.
Hey, let me ask you something. What were you on this page before? What changed? How did you come across our material and stuff?
A friend of mine.
Right.
A friend of mine gave me your guys's YouTube info, and I started watching you, and I was like, oh my god, what the hell have I been missing?
Interesting. Do you remember that that transformation when that happened?
Oh yeah, it was really weird. It was kind of like he said, I was like, oh my god, am I a racist? Am I a bad person?
Yeah, because you take those charges seriously, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just saying, it's kind of hard. You got to struggle through it a little bit. But it was shocking, because I really started to see all the conditioning that I had been put through for years, 20 plus years, and I have kids of my own, so it was like they're going through this right now.
Yes,
being conditioned in school, and society is telling them, and I have two boys, so it's even worse.
Yeah, two white boys. What ages are they? Yes. If you don't mind me asking.
Go ahead.
What ages are they?
Oh, I'm sorry. One is 4 and the other is 12.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. No, I get your point. And again, it's like, you do take those kinds of charges seriously, because you're like, you know, again, we came to this from the perspective of like, hey, we're seeing things turning for the worse in the world. We want to figure out who's doing this to us and why, because this is not going to end well. And we're doing this because we want a better world, not a worse world, obviously. But those people, again, I mentioned before, which is the call with you, is like, they're trying to simplify it. They have this one-dimensional view of what it is that we're coming with. And they're doing that to delegitimize the concepts and saying, well, your concerns are not valid because you're a bad person and you just want to murder people or ethnic. I mean, we hear these talking points in mainstream media. They want to ethnically cleanse people. It's like, no one, like, I've never met a person that has ever said something like that. We're talking about political solutions.
I've seen people
say that. What's that?
I've seen people say that. I've seen people say that, but they're usually people who are saying it against white people.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like on Twitter, you see somebody, a woman, and she says it quite, you know, nonchalantly, that if all white women just dated and had babies with if all white women had babies with non-white people, then racism would be cured and everything would be great because everybody would be the same, but different, but the same, you know.
I remember that tweet.
It's the most ridiculous. And I'm like, you know, when they tried that in places in, you know, Eastern Europe, it didn't work out so well because it was called genocide.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's exactly right. It actually, if you read the genocide convention that UN wrote up, then it's essentially if you have any... If you're creating the mental environment, the psychological environment that is causing people within a specific group to have less children, that's actually considered genocide. And if you're advocating for people to mix out so that their ethnicity won't remain, well, that's genocide. That's creating those conditions for it, right? So, you know, but again, they're just trying to claim that these are conspiracies. It's not really true. It's not really happening, and kind of stuff like that. But anyway, do you have anything else you want to say?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm good. I just really was affected by this. I opened up the YouTube app and I saw it said Iconoclast was banned. And I kind of just got like, I got really pissed because he was one of the people that brought me to an awakening. And he was the first person that I backed on Patreon.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for that.
I'm gonna
have that printed on my wall. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'll follow you still on BitChute. It's just, great. You know, the way it is, YouTube is the biggest platform, but we got to make it not so.
That's right. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the support. I'm still here. I'm just somewhere else. So I hope you continue to follow me. And thank you. That personal journey that you had to go through to break through your own conditioning, that's what we have to do on a civilizational level. It's a big task, but we individual success stories like yours and mine, you know, it gives me hope for the future, really. I'm very optimistic about
it. I mean, I have a biracial family, not mine myself, but my sister is married to a Vietnamese man. And, you know, so I knew I wasn't racist. I never judged anybody less than because they weren't white. But I kind of always felt like, why am I not allowed to be proud of my Welsh heritage? And, you know, my Scottish heritage, my family came to this country from Wales. So it pissed me off that everybody else was allowed to have those feelings of pride but me. And I always wondered why. And then, I know now. It's all bullshit. Sorry for the cursing.
No, you're absolutely right. It is bullshit. Yeah, well, that's what it takes. We have to realize that we can't let these people set the moral framework. Like, we have nothing to respond to, frankly, among these people who are trying to delegitimize us. And frankly, they're presenting some cartoonish version of the arguments that we have anyway. So we're like, we're not even on their play, on their same ballpark as some of these people, right? They're doing it. They're saying those things. They're calling us those things so that we will stop fighting back, so that they will win. That's really what it's about.
Yeah, they're trying to demoralize us. They want whites to feel guilty and privileged and inherently racist just for the very fact that you were born, you're racist, right? You know, this idea of inherent bias and all this crazy nonsense that never existed before, really, in our society until, you know, there was a need to push down the white populace. And then, you know, this whole push for socialism and communism and stuff, it just all goes hand in hand. And you know, I'm not buying it anymore. I used to be a Democrat, and I'm awake. I'm not woke. I'm awakened. I see it all now.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate your perspective on that. It's good to hear those kinds of stories. So thank you so much.
Yep, thank you very much.
Guys.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, wonderful.
I think I'll have to go now, Henrik,
yes,
if that's
definitely.
All right.
No, I get it.
But this has been really fun, though. Very informed. Thank you for having me on and for spreading the word.
Yeah, let's do it again soon. And thank you for your work. And just keep it up and keep up your morale and stuff like that. Plug all your stuff here at the end so people once again know where to go.
Okay, well, you can see my Facebook page there. You can search me on there. I've got many, many posts with many, many links. The big one, though, is BitChute. Follow me on BitChute. And in my About section on BitChute, it also has all the other links where you can follow me as well. So thank you so much. The other day I had 8,000 followers on BitChute. Now I've got over 11,000.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
People are coming over, so that it's working. And I will be uploading there from next week. So see you then, I guess.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you so much, Dan, the Iconoclast. I really appreciate your time today. Keep up the good work, okay?
Yeah, cheers, man.
All right, we'll talk later. Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there we go. That's the Iconoclast. We can see if there's anyone else who wanted to call in here right at the end. I think, yeah, there's someone calling now. Let me unmute you right there. All right, there we go. Hey, you're live on the air. Might have to mute the stream.
Canada.
Yeah, go ahead and mute the stream.
Oh, sorry, big guy.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm an old fart.
A boomer. A real-life boomer. No, I'm just joking.
Well, no, I'm the X generation, big guy.
Oh, there you go. Hey, what's on your on your mind?
Well, no, I've just been watching you guys since 2015, and I'm from Canada here, Alberta. I mean, I love your guys' show, and I took my red pill with Trudeau, Obama, or the and Mexico. Remember them? They're called the Three Amigos. If Hillary would have got in, Mexico, South America, United States, and Canada would all been open borders. That was the objective, right?
Yeah, it was under NAFTA. They're pushing NAFTA. Was it NAFTA? What was that called? They're building some super highway through Mexico all the way up to Canada. Is that still on?
No. It's thank God for Trump, he stopped it, right?
Yeah, didn't
but
he?
If Hillary would have got in, which was the plan, it would have been. Canada would have been like France right now. You know, you're walking over dead bodies. It would have been just devastating. We're only like 37 million. Could you imagine Mexico and the United States, the 360 million, and Mexico all piling into Canada, the North? It would have been
crazy.
Devastating to us.
Devastating. Yeah, that's crazy. And but I mean, Canada's in a pretty bad situation, aren't they?
What's that? We're hurting. I mean... Well, I mean, it's so bad here right now. I'm in Alberta. We're the hit the worst, right? We're the oil patch. We're like Texas in Canada.
Yeah.
It's like there's lineups now. Lineups at food bank.
That's crazy.
I mean, you know, half a block lineups at food banks just to make it through the month for people when I drive to work. Eh? And it's like, and I'm an oil guy, right? You know, so if I start swearing, they don't call us a rig pit. Because we're dirty, it's because our moats. and I'm finding it hard. I'm, you know, lucky I'm a carpenter, trade carpenter, and I find it work. But I mean, the unemployment rate's like 12-13% here in Alberta.
Oh, geez.
Calgary, which is one of our big cities, it's like a ghost town. It's crazy. It's crazy.
And the borders remain open and people are just coming in, and where are they going to live? Where are they going to get work? And of course that drives down the wages for the Canadians that are there now and stuff. So it's just, it's insanity what's happening. I don't even know what gone on this long, but it has, and it still continues to this day. It's amazing. Are you feeling that when you're out and talking to people and stuff, are they getting any of this? I don't even know if you raise these points to them, but if you're, you know, a tradesman and stuff and you're out and doing your jobs, do people see what's happening, the people you're talking with?
Yeah, people like me. It's usually the working people like me. I'm not politically correct. I tell it as it is, and as you can tell, I'm very boisterous. You know, that's the oil patch. It's like buckle up, sunshine, you know, no feelings here kind of thing. And I got that attitude. I'm straightforward to tell you the way it is. So the people I work with, tradespeople, people that are, you know, survivors kind of thing, we all get it, right? it's the people in control, such as the unions, right? The school board, the medical profession. We got a we're like Sweden right now. Remember that video that came out in Sweden in the hospitals where you got hallway deaths now? People are dying in hallways. There was a video in Sweden. Yeah, that's been going on for 12, 15 years in Canada. I mean, we're literally crumbling.
That's horrific. It's way overbeared, you know, specifically like the, you know, countries that have socialized medicine, because a lot of people that come in, they run to the doctor for everything. It's just completely overwhelmed. You can't keep up with it. The lines, the queues to get help is endless in some cases. And people, they die before they can even see a doctor. So that's socialized medicine for you. That's the great advantages that Bernie and some of these crazy people want to bring to the U.S., for example, right? It's just with 350 million people with like all kinds of different cultural backgrounds and religions and stuff like that, it's never going to work. It's a joke. It barely worked in Sweden. It did when we were homogenous in a small country like that. But there wasn't abuse of the system at that point. You know, you only did it when it was necessary. You know what I mean?
Yes. You see, what's happened in Canada is they like to call it multiculturalism, but it's not multiculturalism, it's tribalism, all right?
Right.
And you're seeing, I'm from the 80s. My generation was the 70s and 80s, and we didn't have much immigration. So when a politician got up and spoke, he spoke for all Canadians, because we were still pretty much, it was Native Americans and it was Europeans, right?
Yeah.
What's happened now, it's interest groups. So we got our elections coming up in October here, right? So now you got the conservatives and you got the libtards. So what ends up happening is you got tribalism. So let's say Toronto, you've got one area of Toronto that's all Muslim, another area of Toronto that's all East Indians, another area of Toronto that's all Tzatzikis. So now your government's going to these communities. And let's say it's a Muslim community, and the Muslim community says, you know, Andrew Scheer, we've got a population of 1.2 million in Canada here. If we vote for you, what are you going to do for the Muslim community, right? So basically, they're buying votes. It's no longer a whole of Canada. It's these tribalist groups to get their votes, promising them little extras.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's happening in Sweden too. I talked about it recently. There's a Muslim party, a Turkish guy who's going to form a Muslim party for the first time in Sweden. And interestingly, I think you will see the majority of the Muslim population go to that party because it will represent their interest, right? But what's going to happen then is that those people that are currently they go for like the Social Democrats, maybe the Green Party, but maybe the Left Party and stuff like that. But it basically means that whole block will be pulled up from under the feet of these Social Democrats. And all these people are essentially, you know, that stab the working class European people in the back, essentially, the Swedish people in this case. And they're not going to get those support anymore, which basically means that those parties might collapse. I don't know if that's the situation in Canada, but essentially you're going to get small enclaves. And whoever kind of gets the upper hand demographically, or if you still have democracy at that point, are going to be the parties that are in charge because they just have the numbers on their side. That's what's going to happen.
Exactly. It's just common sense. I mean, this kind of stuff you learn in grade 5 or 6, right? This is like, I'm not a smart guy. Like, I'm a tradesman. I'm no genius, I'll tell you. But the one thing I do have is just simple common sense. That's why I'm here and alive today, and I get to see my golden years, right? It's just, I survive with common sense. But a lot of people don't understand Canada is a lot different than the United States, I think, to a point.
Yeah.
So we have provinces, right? Technically, each province is technically a country of its own. So Alberta, we had an election here, a provincial election, and I was with the Alberta Independence Party. So all what Alberta needs, 54% of Albertans wanted to separate from Canada. We wanted to be our own country. Trump just actually put an offer to buy Alberta, as well as Iceland. A lot of people don't realize that.
After Greenland or before Greenland? Because
no, just, it was either, I think it was after. Greenland.
He really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. That's interesting.
Yeah, he said, yeah, we'll even put an offer in Alberta because he knows we've got enough oil in this province to supply the world for the next 100-plus years.
Wow.
So we're so rich in resources. But what ends up happening is, in order for us to be our own country, all of what we have to do is have 50+1% of the population to tell Ottawa that we want to leave and we're a new nation.
Right. Who was it that voted way back? Was that Quebec? They had an independence vote at some point?
Yeah, yes, yes. Now, Quebec, actually, Quebec's nationalist.
Yeah. But the vote didn't go through. It was a hair fine. What do you call it? Like a really thin margin, right? In terms of going for no instead of yes, I believe.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They had less people. 54% of Albertans want to separate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening right now? We got a Donald Trump. It's called a PPC party.
Maxime Bernier. Yeah.
Yes. He's our Trump.
Right.
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 He wants fair immigration. He wants to stop immigration down to 100 to 150,000. Have high educated immigrants for what we need.
Yeah.
26% of the immigration of 2018 with high skills. 72 or 76 or 74% were just immigrants. Majority of them are coming from Somalia and other places, and we all know an average IQ of a Somalian is what, 76 to 78?
Something like that. Right? That's what they say. Yeah.
So we're putting everything we got in the People's Party. But here's the sick problem with it. Is that our Trudeau has blocked Bernier, Mad Max, from having major debates.
Yep, there you go.
He blocked it. He just
I heard
made
that.
A law. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like we can't get on stage. Now democracy works when it's in the globalist arena. Once you've got pushback, well, then they just, you know, they cut our throats. They stop us at any roots, right? The career politicians, right?
Yeah.
So, it's clown world. I mean, it's
clown world. You got it, man.
Oh,
yeah.
You got it. But I won't take any more of your time.
No, it's fine. I appreciate the call.
And good luck, and I love your show, and I brag about you guys all the time, and you got a bunch of new viewers.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. Have a good rest of your day.
God bless.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, nice. Appreciate the call, man. All right, well, we do have, I guess, a couple more minutes. I see that someone called. Let me try to call back one guy here real quick, and then we'll see if we can get him on the air as well. Netlux TV, I think I've seen it on DLive a couple of times. Let me see if he picks up. Hey, Netlux.
Hello.
Hey. You're live on the air. How's it going?
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, have a good rest of your day.
Hey, you there? Oh, maybe. There we go. Now he's calling back, I think. Hey, you're live on the air. How's it going?
Hi. I would like to speak about Malta and the Maltese Prime Minister and what you think of the whole situation there. And because a lot of the migration is basically coming into Malta and then they spread it throughout the rest of the continent. However, they don't take anything in Malta, so I wonder what you think of that.
Yeah, I've actually not researched the politics too much of Malta. I know that it's a very interesting area in terms of like the older sites and stuff that's there. I've always wanted to go to Malta, but is it an autonomous region or is it considered its own country? I don't even know.
So it's like a little island and they have their own politics and it's separated from Greece. The current party that is in power there is the Labour Party, which you could just say it's a communist party.
Right.
And so what they do is instead of taking the migrants in Malta, they spread it throughout Europe. And I think the reason of that is so that the people in Malta, they don't vote against the party.
Oh, interesting. Are you living down there?
No. I'm living in the Netherlands.
I thought so. I sound like a Dutch accent. I just wanted to check, you know. But yeah, okay, interesting. So, is it one of the islands that's received a lot of refugees? Because we hear about, you know, Lesbos all the time, and some of these other Greek islands. But
exactly. All right. It's kind of interesting because it's actually illegal what they're doing. But then you look at all of these ships in Europe that are taking refugees and how they actually get spread. It ends up, they all end up in Malta, and they get spread from there throughout the rest of the European countries.
And it seems to be whatever island or whatever country which many of the migrants come to, if they do clamp down, like Italy, for example, the traffic just shifts, right? It goes, well, now it's to Spain, or if they do something, they go to France on the Mediterranean side, or they go to some of the other islands and stuff. So it seems that they're piggybacking, they're just buoy jumping on whatever island that they can, essentially, to get into the EU.
Yeah, but what's really interesting is that I've seen a lot of articles on liberal news, and what they always say is how none of the refugees, well, quote-unquote refugees, how none of them get taken into Malta and how all of them get spread into European countries. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. Yeah, I definitely need to look at that more. That's interesting. I know that, you know, some people have been traveling around, they've been going to different parts and stuff like that. I would like to go to Malta, and again, I don't know much about the politics, but I'll do a little research on that. Maybe there's some interesting things we can dig out for that. So I appreciate the take on that.
Yeah, I can send you some articles if you're interested in that whole situation. And it's especially relevant because a lot of the ships from Germany with those organizations that are picking up those migrants from the Libyan coast, a lot of those ships, they go to Malta, and that's how they spread. But they don't ever speak about the legality of that. It's just that they say that those migrants are going to be spread, but it's an illegal thing. I don't understand it.
Like, well, that's the thing. They never follow their own rules. Most of what they do is they just break it. Since when was it legal just to cross the border into a country and just stay there?
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Like, they're breaking the laws all the time. They just don't give a shit. They just do it, and people are like, "Oh, that's illegal." Okay, well, what are you going to do about it? So, I mean, that's why people call it an anarcho-tyranny. It's essentially, you know, if any people of European descent starts organizing, they clamp down. They call it a terrorist group. They do, you know, the whole force of the law and the police and defense system is like there to keep these people in check. But if it's the right people that do something, so to speak, then they just, it's hands-off approach. They can break the laws, they can break the rules, they can do whatever the hell they want, right? So it's anarchy, but then it's like vehement tyranny on top of that, in addition.
Yeah, I just think it's weird that those ships are still free to go out there and that nobody actually says anything about them.
Yeah.
I mean, those illegal ships, but I don't understand it. The politics in my country, for instance, is talking about how they want to do something about it, but then they are like, we're just going to work on it later. Or even though the ships are literally, they're sailing on a Dutch banner or on a Norwegian banner or on a German banner.
Yeah. No, exactly. When that thing with Britain happened with the Iranian ships, I remember that some of these ships can actually, they can swap banner. They can actually go under whatever country they, I think there has to be an agreement. The country must say yes or whatever. But, you know, if you're talking about, what was that one famous ship, the Aquarius? Remember a while ago was
the oil ship. I think
this was one of those humanitarian ships. I think it was called the Aquarius. Okay. It was essentially just going in the Mediterranean, picking up whoever. I mean, again, people must understand that the human traffickers are making massive amounts of money from the migrants that want to try to make it to Europe, right? So they put them on a boat, they put half a gas, a tank or whatever in there, they pack it to the brim, they send it out, it keeps going, and eventually the gas runs out. And so, and under maritime law, If you have a ship, you must help them. You must pick them up. But since it's these many humanitarian, like Doctors Without Borders and all these organizations, NGOs have ships circling the region, they don't take them back to where they come from. They pick them up and then they drop them off on European shores. And that's what Salvini did. He started stopping that and said, no more, we're not having that. And that's when they started going to other parts again. They started to go, you know, Greece, or they go to Spain now and stuff like that.
Now they always go to Malta, and that's very interesting. You should look into the ship that's called Ocean Viking.
Ocean Viking, interesting. I'll make a note of that. Send me an email, redice@protonmail.com, with some details about that. I'd love to hear more, because that's a good show. Well, thank you for calling, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, I appreciate your show. I really enjoy it.
Thank you, man. All right, have a good one.
Take care.
Thank you. All right, we might wrap up here in just a little bit. I don't know if there's some people that want to call in. Let me check here if there's anyone else, and we can do last couple of ones here before we... okay, I think Netlux, he said he fixed it. Let me call him back and see. I'm calling him back because I saw he called. Love that Skype tune, huh? Oh, he might not be there now. Hey, Netlux, you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, very good. Yep, yep, you're live on the air. How's it going?
Oh, cool. Oh, good, yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Sorry to hear about Conquest channel getting taken down. That sucks.
It's insanity.
Yeah, his video on the time that he took a trip to Paris and got surrounded by a bunch of 7-foot-tall Sudanese guys is a video that I send to a lot of people who don't like to believe me when I tell them about the situation changing in Europe. Send them a picture of what Paris looks like now versus a couple of years ago, and it's crazy when you check it out, all the people living on the street.
It's complete mayhem, man. It's just, I don't know how people can... how they can stay blind to it, but most people, they just don't know. They don't see this footage. They don't, you know, I mean, look at how they don't even cover the yellow vests, Western media in France, you know?
When you guys were talking about what the situation here is going to be like versus, you know, in Europe or the U.S., I'm in the U.S. personally, but whether it's going to be like what's happening now in South Africa or if it's going to just be more of the same, I think it's going to be more of the same with people just kind of not caring. I mean, you look at the situation in Hong Kong where you got what, like a million people coming out into the street and protesting against the biggest threat in the world, the Chinese government, in my opinion, versus, you know, actual. But people in the United States would never do that. They would never have the, they would never get off their couches and do anything about any of the situation and what's happening to them.
You think so? I do think, I mean, at some point it's going to be a saturation point. But at the same time, people should know that it doesn't take a majority either to get real change. You know, look at what a small minority, this interesting little international clique that have managed to do so much havoc. That has not been a majority, right? And they've shifted the culture. They've changed an immense amount of things in specifically in the Western world, most European countries. The situation now is, of course, a little differently. But what it takes is an active minority of really dedicated people who know what they're doing. So, you know, it could be a little bit of a faulty premise to kind of sit around and wait for the masses to kind of wake up. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think more and more people will wake up, and that's going to spur more dedicated, smart, intelligent people to start thinking about the situation and realizing, like, shit, we have to do something about this. And it's those kinds of people that we need. Right? We need leadership. We need people who are capable, who can look at these problems and come up with different solutions. Politically, culturally, and, you know, to begin to change the direction where things are going. So that's kind of what I see. That's where I see it's going to happen. But what do you think?
I agree completely. People, if you're listening to this right now and you're not doing something, like just even something small, make your own YouTube channel, put out a newsletter, do something, start talking, because these ideas need to get spread. What they're trying to do right now is they're trying to equate anybody who's a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist with being a terrorist, basically. That's what they're going to eventually push.
That's right.
That's what it looks like the narrative is being pushed. Like, if you're questioning anything from the official narrative of the mainstream media, then you're a terrorist. And they're already starting to do this. You see them now. I saw that guy with the eye patch. What's it? That
fucking name? Crenshaw.
Yeah, Crenshaw. Or... my friends were doing a video breaking down him on Joe Rogan's podcast and some of the stuff that he was asking for in this coded language. He's basically just John McCain with an iPad.
That's right.
He's asking for advanced surveillance abilities for domestic police to basically get after these quote unquote white supremacist terrorists who are going on these stop them on these shooting rampages before they start or whatever. Even though there's really, you know, when they tell the statistic, oh, there's been 270 mass shootings this year.
Yeah.
That's a total bullshit statistic made up by this woman, Shannon Watts, who's a total nutcase. And it's not a real statistic anyway. I mean, they don't ever talk about, you know, the guy in Philadelphia who shot a bunch of cops, you know, and whenever the shooter's black, they don't talk about that. But, you know, every time it's a white guy, they always mention it in the headline. But
yeah, it's always white supremacy. It doesn't matter what the motives are. Even if they don't know what the motives are, they classify it under that banner.
I mean, don't even get me wrong. The El Paso thing, there are so many suspicious aspects to that whole story. Did you know that that guy supposedly drove all the way there on a motorcycle?
I didn't hear that. 600 miles he drove there?
He drove there like 600 or 800 miles or something like that, some ridiculous, from Dallas to El Paso. It's far.
Yeah.
And he drove there apparently on a motorcycle with what they say was an AR-15 or an AK-47, I believe.
God,
right?
Is it 600 miles from Dallas to El Paso? I didn't even know that. It's a big country. Yeah.
Why did he drive all the way there? Like, there's no Mexican people in Dallas? Like, that's what's suspicious to me. If you look into the guy's father, too, he was part of this John of God cult in Brazil.
That's right.
I think I heard you mention it on the show.
We covered it.
But his dad was working at some psych hospital in Minnesota, I believe it was, and they did a presentation. I could send you the info. They did a presentation where, like, the father did a talk on CIA, project, like the MK Ultra stuff, but it was after that, like, all the mind control stuff they were doing with people with hallucinogens and starting shootings and stuff like that. Like, why would this guy's father, and you look at the mugshot of the guy looks whacked out in the picture.
Yeah. I'm searching for the hospital where he worked. Cause there was a bunch of people that had, sued it. I think it was shut down eventually. And they were dealing with people who had mental issues and stuff like that. It was something Greenfield or what the hell was it?
Thing like that. I forget
the name, but it was very interesting and strange kind of circumstances around that guy. And, you know, look at he might be just a wacko, but look at the Overstock CEO. He was crying on Fox Business doing an interview with them when he brought up the El Paso shooter.
It's interesting because I think he's telling the truth. He seems a little whacked out.
He seems wacky, but something happened to him, I think, for sure.
Comey just came out and said that he was lying, and Clapper just came out and said he's lying. So I kind of believe that the guy's probably telling the truth now, if these people are coming out now to say he's lying.
Yeah.
Especially that all this shit about that Maria Butina chick is really suspicious. I haven't looked into it too much because there's so many angles to all this. But she was in a PSA about Russian gun safety with John Bolton a couple years ago, where they were doing something with the Russian government.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you seen this? Have you seen this video?
No, I have not. I'd like to see it.
John, you know, do it for Israel, go to war with Iran, Bolton, in a video with Maria Butina. She seems to be some kind of intel asset that's being passed around for whatever project they need. She looks a little rough around the edges, you know, if you've seen the pictures of her, like what this guy got tricked into sleeping with her. She looks kind of haggard, you know, if this guy's supposedly a billionaire. I mean, I don't know about that. But.
Yeah. No, it's true. I got the feeling that they're using her. If it's true what the Overstock CEO says, if you can take that, you know, for what it is, it sounds like she has been used in every possible kind of scenario with all these different kinds of people, so that whatever scenario rises up, they could have her and use her as someone who's like, see, the Russians are involved with something. Oh, it almost felt like it was someone, because they said she was given the green light from Russia to go over here and do those things and set that up and stuff. And then, the agents
and
go ahead.
Yeah, what nobody talks about with any of these things is the fact that there's been no proof whatsoever. They don't want to talk about the actual underlying evidence. Like, there's no proof. They always talk, they go, oh, the Russians hacked into the DNC computers. Like, there's no proof of that whatsoever. They've never shown any proof of it.
Right.
The only supposed company that's done any kind of actual technical analysis on it was that company that was started by ex-Obama staffers at Cloudflare, the other, whatever it's called. It's a similar one, Cloudfire, or whatever the company's called, the one that they won't turn over the servers to the FBI. And
right.
The FBI, like, even if the FBI got it, I don't know if I would really trust what they were saying anyway, but it's like people don't even question it. They name these random guys in the Russian indictment. Like, they basically could just probably pick pictures off of some website and say, oh, this guy's name. It's like what they did in Britain with that sketchy poisoning. You know, remember that one?
Yeah, the Skripal case, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you looked into that at all?
A little bit, yeah. This just seems like super phony, and like, why would they even do that? It just didn't seem to make sense to me when I looked at it.
There's the guy, George Galloway?
Yeah.
He's kind of a leftist. He's kind of a leftist. And
very much
shit,
so.
He says.
Yeah.
But you know.
He's good on Israel and Zionism, though.
He's very woke. He's very woke on that. And he doesn't lie. I feel like, you know, he's honest about what he is and what he believes.
Yeah.
And he did a great video on the whole Russian, just about the facts about the Skripal case and talking about how ridiculous it is on its face.
Yeah.
I highly suggest watching it. I'll send it to you. I found the picture, by the way, the thing of the guy's father. and it was called Timberlawn Mental Health.
Showing it right now on the stream. Timberlawn Psychiatric Hospital. It closed February 16th after safety violations, and there's all these weird things with that. Very strange.
This is from 2007. Researchers who speak on link between CIA and multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
A talk called CIA Mind Control Experiments on Americans by American Psychiatrists, Creation of Multiple Personality Disorder in the Manchurian Candidate Program.
They did do stuff like this. It's not a secret. It's out in the open. These are declassified documents that they did release. And obviously, they didn't just stop in 1976 or whenever supposedly some of those programs stopped. I think they refined the technique. They became even more proficient with it, frankly. But, you know, that's crazy conspiracy theory, so you can't talk about that.
All these guys, the one thing between them, the main link is most of them come from single father homes, which, you know, definitely has an impact. But beyond that, I mean, I know, of course, you know, it's anecdotal. I know plenty of people who've grown up in single parent homes that are okay. Most of them are messed up. But the truth is, most of these guys were also on psych meds. The majority of them were on psych meds.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
These drugs, they have to get the black box warning here in the U.S. where it talks about how, you know, you're at risk of psychosis, suicide, all this stuff. That's a hardcore warning for somebody to ignore. And you have so many people who are on these meds. 20% of women in the U.S. are on one of these hardcore psych meds.
Yeah, I mean, Sandoz, one of the first companies that started producing antidepressants, came out of the field of, like, they had synthesized LSD and stuff like that in the beginning. And someone said that, yeah, exactly. I mean, the microdosed things and, you know, like... It essentially builds up. It's accumulative in the body when you take those things.
Dayton, the guy in Dayton, I don't know if you looked into this, the shooter in Dayton who was Antifa, his friend, okay, so like a day after, the same day that this guy did the shooting, his friend gets investigated and talked to by the FBI. I was like, wow, that's kind of quick that they found this guy that quick. And his friend got in trouble for purchasing a 100-round clip for
him. That's right.
And the armor, and he was supposed to be storing it at his house so his parents wouldn't find it, but he claims he didn't know anything that the friend was going to do a shooting or any of that stuff. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
It's too growing. He said that they took acid a couple times a week, which is a lot to take acid. I mean, a couple times a week is a lot. But he said that he used to do drugs with the guy who did the shooting, and he didn't know anything about it. But he also told the Fed that he was microdosing mushrooms in his house, and he was growing mushrooms in his house, and they found it. So who knows, that the guy who did the shooting could have well been one of these guys that was doing the microdosing thing. There's a lot of people doing that now, and nobody's really looked. I mean, you know, this is all well and good if you want to be microdosing or whatever. Don't go out and do some crazy shit. But, you know, these people who have underlying psychiatric conditions and do stuff like this, you have to wonder, really, what kind of connections are there? I mean, this guy dropped off his sister and then comes back an hour later and then shoots her with a bunch of other people. He's got a rape list of all these people he wants to rape in his high school. And apparently there were people who knew about it enough to the point where they didn't go to the school anymore. Like, these are people, you know, I don't agree with the red flag laws and stuff like that. But, you know, there are people who definitely should not be having access to a weapon like this guy.
Yeah. I mean, if it's, you know, if you have an environment where you're just like handing out, and this has come out even now with the opium crisis and stuff like that, but like they're just handing out drugs, especially in America, like it's like candy. You know, it's just like they're flooding territories with this kind of stuff. And again, just the antidepressants is just another layer of like insanity on top of that, because it changes people's brain makeup. It changes their synapses, their receptors, and all kinds of stuff. It's had massive weird effects, and it's still largely not something that people talk about. And so if you're gonna have this amount of drugs flying around out there, this kind of shit will happen, because these people will freak out. So again, I'm not for taking away guns from people, but you have to have people to be in a position where they know how to defend themselves and their families, because this kind of stuff seems to be happening on an increasing level. If all of them are, you know, legit or whatever, if all of them are that, I don't know. But I don't doubt that there's people who are, you know, mentally so gone that they're doing shit like that. They see something on TV and they go into copycat mode, essentially, and they do it themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll say one last thing. Look into the El Paso shooting, people. There's a video of the guy getting arrested, and it looks like it's being filmed from a motorcycle. Like, when the guy's
getting caught. I saw that. Yeah.
There's all kinds of sketchy shit going on with that thing, and No, I wouldn't be surprised if we never hear anything about it again, just like we've never heard anything updated about the New Zealand thing after it happened. You're not going to hear anything about any of these cases again, because that's what they want. They just want people to forget about it and go on until the next thing happens.
Yeah, move next. You know, but they tallied up in the list, though, as a reasoning for why they need to control people and stop their speech and take their guns away.
I mean, when it works for them, it works for them. It's a double standard thing. It works for them, it works for them. Look at Las Vegas. We never heard anything about what happened.
We don't know the motive. It's the biggest mass killing in America, right? Mass shooting. And we don't even know. We know nothing. New York Times released a video,
the amount of stuff that happened in it was so sketchy, with all the different facts about how the guy that was from Australia was in the room next to him and goes and talks to the Australian newspaper, The Age, and then he disappears. But he turns out he worked at the same casino as the guy's wife, and they don't investigate that at all. You don't hear anything about it. Like, and there was another guy's clothing in a second room that was locked from the inside, and the window wasn't broken from the cop's video. Like, there's all these things that don't add up. The window wasn't even broken when you saw the cop's vest video, what they wore when they broke into the room finally. And there's disagreement about whether he shot himself or whether they shot him. It's all this. There's so many different things about that story that don't make sense. To even go into it would be like a whole hour. It's ridiculous. But they don't talk about any of these things. You know, Tucker Carlson going on in about a week. And then, you know, he's one of the only people on mainstream media who will ever tell the truth about anything. And when it gets too close to the truth, they make him take a vacation like they did recently.
Yeah. It's absurd, man. So, yeah. All right, man. Yeah, I appreciate your call. It was great having you. Call back again. It seems like you have a lot of information. Send us if there's anything you want to send us, just send us to redice@protonmail if there's any of those videos or something you had that you want to send.
Definitely. Thank you, Henrik.
Thank you. Great work. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll talk later. Bye. Bye. All right. I think I'm going to mute there. And we'll wrap up there, folks. So thank you so much for joining us here today. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that as well. I'm going to wrap up. We have a couple of super chats. I guess we can just go through them real quick here right at the end. We had Bjornar Wright Solvang for 10 says, quench your thirst. Thank you, Bjornar. Also H&M for 5. Nice show, guys. The ADL is evil. God bless. I won't disavow that one. Bjornar Wright Solvang again for 10. They can't force us to accept or like their presence. Well, no, that's true. What are they going to do? That's the question, right? Like the last caller raised. What are they going to do? If it's like conspiracy is going to be illegal and you can't think anything not approved by the state or the government or something like that. What if people refuse? this is my belief. Sorry, this is what I think. I've researched this and I think XYZ. You know, at what level do the government comes in, or whoever are these experts to tell us what the truth, what the real story is about these things? What are they going to do about that? You're going to be sent to re-education camp. You know, the options that they're going to present are probably numerous to try to prevent people from thinking outside of the box, having unauthorized thoughts and thinking things which are not, you know, correct, essentially. So it's scary. It's definitely a scary time, folks. All right, guys. Actually, a couple from the cash app as well. We do have another super chat way I can read those, because I don't know if you guys are watching. You sent those in for the for Flashback Friday, and I didn't have time to take those. My phone actually died. John K sent $100 yesterday. Thank you, very generous donation. I really appreciate that. Robert E. Lee for 5. I think I had a question. What are your thoughts on the viability of democracy? Huge question, obviously, Robert, but. Look at the fruits of it now. It doesn't seem to work very well to give you the shortest possible answer to that. Look where it has brought us, right? Okay, another one. I know Californian says, for 2, check email about Red Eye site. Can't download shows today. Oh, really? Interesting. Okay, I will look into that. That doesn't make sense. And Joshua A for 5, no message there. So thank you to you guys as well. I appreciate that. But yeah, we're going to wrap up the stream there, kind of last minute impromptu stuff. We're going to actually do some prep for Weekend Warrior today. We'll record that tomorrow. So definitely make sure you check out redicemembers.com, the members website. That's where you can go to check out the shows, Weekend Warrior and everything else. We have everything there. No censorship on that website. So if you do want to support us, the best way to do that is to get a membership at redicemembers.com. All right, guys. Thank you to everyone watching. Thank you to DLive people there as well. Thank you for those who donated over there. Thank you to the Entropy chat that went over there and everyone watching on YouTube. We will see you guys soon. We'll be back tomorrow with Weekend Warriors. Make sure you don't miss it at redicemembers.com. We'll see you guys later. So have a good evening. or afternoon, wherever you are. Thank you.